Bible podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Merry Christmas, everybody. And as you celebrate the eve of Christmas, I want to give you a short message that you can meditate on. In this book, The History or the Story of Christianity, we find the traditions of Christianity and dating back to the Roman Empire. In fact, during the Roman Empire, the opening lines of the book of Luke says, in the days of Augustus Caesar, literally the first emperor of Rome. As you know, the Roman Empire was the entirety of the continent, practically the entirety of the continent of Europe, and it was centered in a place called Rome. And in Rome, we find that it spread through Greece and all the way to the different parts of the world, from Arabia to Egypt to parts of Africa to obviously the Saxons and the Celts out in Britannia, the Galicia, which was France, and Germania, which was Germany, the Hispanics in Spain, and the Dalmatians. And all across the world, this was where the Roman Empire was. It was in this setting that early Christians had this idea of celebrating Christmas. And the idea was to have something to hold on to that will keep their faith alive. Well, while that was true, they were surrounded by all kinds of religions and all kinds of beliefs. Now, they were in Judea primarily, and as they traveled and word of them spread all over the world, in various corners of the world, the Roman Empire eventually became Christian. And as it became Christian, a lot of the other religions had their own traditions and practices, amongst them the different practices and things that people did, and the Christians were surrounded by these. One of the most amazing things the Christians did was they took the so-called Roman calendar or the Julian calendar, which was the basis for the movement of time during those days, and began to redeem those names. Actually, when you look at the Julian calendar, you'll find that the names of the months, beginning with Mars, back in those days, there were only 10 months in a year. And the reason why Mars or March was the first one was because the Romans were predominantly warriors. And so they offered their celebrations to the god of war, Mars. April or Aprilis or April really comes from the word aperio, which is where, to be open, the season of openness. May was about a goddess, Maia, and June was the goddess Junius, and July was obviously the reigning Caesar, Julius, and then September or Sextilis was really about the sixth month. Back in the day, it was the sixth month, and that back in the days, as I've mentioned, there are only 10 months in the year. And then you had Augustus Caesar, which was intertwined there. And then October, or Octolus, literally means the eighth month. If you've ever wondered why they're all bare, it's because it's Octolus, Novemsis, and finally Decemsis, which is basically 8, 9, and 10. This is the Julian calendar as we know it. Over time, they added two more months to the year, starting with January, based on the Roman god of beginnings and transition named Janus, and February, which is Februa, which is based on the idea of the starting of the year, the beginnings and transitions of the year. The interesting thing was Christians redeemed all of these without changing the names of the gods. They called it no longer the Julian calendar, but it was based on Anno Domini, the favorable year of the Lord. And thus, the entire Roman Empire became Christian and was based on these traditions. A good example of how they redeemed traditions was in the month of February, there was a very wild celebration called Lepulcheria. Lepulcheria was a very wild time when people got drunk, violent, bloody, charged with animal sacrifice, a very, very weird celebration. Christians redeemed that and changed it to the celebration of one of those more beloved martyrs and saints, Saint Valentine, which is where we get the love heart and where we get Valentine. As you know, that tradition has changed its meaning. But the point in saying that is because Christians were predisposed to redemption. They took things that were in the life of the current population and redeemed it to make it about Jesus. For example, another month that they found was the month of December or Decemsis, which is really a celebration among Romans, which was known Saturnalia. And Saturnalia was a Roman celebration in the winter months, beginning from, guess what, December 17 to December 23. It was celebrated in honor of the temple of Saturn in the Forum, which was the goddess of celebration that the year was ending right, and the god Saturn. It was followed by private banquets and a lot of celebration. Again, the same licentiousness and drunkenness and debauchery that the Romans were known for. Once again, the Christians redeemed it and called it Christmas. And the reason for that was because of redemption. Their whole goal was not to change the Roman traditions, but to find an opening so they could share the true meaning of Christmas, which is Jesus. Thus, they gave away the gift of peace. In the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 13, it says, in the days of Augustus Caesar, the heavenly host came, and they appeared with an angel, praising God and saying, that it says, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom His favor rests. There you find the words peace on earth, the very mention of the very gift of God to mankind, peace on earth and on whom His favor rests. The Romans were predisposed to war. In fact, that's the history of their entire world, including from the very first day that the Roman Republic was established by a man named Romulus, from where we get the word Rome. And they didn't know what peace looked like and certainly had no idea what world peace looked like. And thus we find ourselves nearly 5,000 years of celebration and we're still wondering what world peace looks like. The reason why we don't is because we really don't know what peace is. And so my first point as you celebrate the Christmas Eve is, what is peace? Well, the Bible's word for peace is actually shalom. Peace literally means harmony, tranquility, and prosperity. In other words, peace is not just a thing of your mind or something you imagine. It is actually fullness or wholeness, shalom. The idea that everything you need, from the harmony of your mind, the tranquility of your soul, and the prosperity of your needs are met, and thus you find peace or wholeness. Secondly, you need to understand that more than just that, wholeness is about being multifaceted. In order for you to have peace, it begins with the inner soul of your heart, which is your spiritual life. There's going to be no peace without that, because you will yourself will be agitated. You yourself will not be capable of building peace relationally. Once you have spiritual and relational peace, God wants you to have physical peace in your body and even material and financial peace. This is really what peace is all about. It's the Bible's word for completeness, and it means multifaceted. But probably the single most important thing you need to understand about peace is a person. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6, it says, for to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, really pointing out to this very moment in history when Jesus was born, and the government will be on His shoulders. And He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the wholeness of that is the Prince of Peace. When we have a deep, growing journey relationship with Jesus, we will know what peace looks like, not from a sedimentary, not from a aesthetic, not from a ethereal, but from a deep sense of understanding who peace is, because peace, more than anything else, is a person, and that person is Jesus. The early Christians knew that, and they pointed people to where you can get that peace. So where exactly can you get peace? Well, peace comes from within. Many times we try to find peace from without, and that's why it never comes. The Jews, Christians in particular, believed in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, that the Lord had formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The Jews and Christians believe that God formed man out of material, but they also knew and believed that unless God breathes life into that man will not have the kind of life, the kind of peaceful life that he was meant to have. So where can we find peace? From within. But the second place where you can find peace on an ongoing basis is through prayer. Peace comes through prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 actually says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And it says, the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Peace comes when we learn how to pray. Prayer is not a ritual, a religious act. Prayer is actually going and taking time to silence your heart so you can be alone with God, to present your requests, to go to Him and with gratefulness and thanksgiving, make your petition and say, God, I offer my life to You. As you celebrate Christmas Eve, go and stop for a moment just before you eat and pray together. Peace comes through prayer. And finally, peace comes from an ordered life. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 says, for God is not a God of disorder, but a God of peace. Many times, the reason why our lives don't work in peace is because there is disorder. And that's why peace is absent. The more ordered our lives become, the more peace we're going to have in our lives. How exactly does that work? A year ago, I talked to you about a billiard table and how our lives seem to be like this billiard table where at the beginning of the day, somebody smacks the day and all our balls are out of whack. The secret to peace is end the day or somewhere in the middle of the day or throughout the day, keep going back and rearranging your balls with the most important first priority, God. Your spiritual life is the basis for peace. And every time you order your life properly, spiritually, relationally, physically, and financially, that peace will come to you. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they've learned to trust in you." Think about that for a minute. God will keep you in perfect peace. Why? Because every time something happens, you stop and pause and reorder your life with Jesus at the center and the rest follows. The more you understand that, your mind will be steadfast. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your mind because you've learned to trust in the one person who's worthy of being trusted. A final point as we end this moment in meditating on the Word of God and as you celebrate Christmas Eve, point number 3 is how to have lasting peace. It starts with love God and His law. Psalms 119 verse 165 says, "Great peace." You want great peace? Well, I'll tell you the secret. Have those who love your law and nothing can make them stumble. When you love God and love His law, not because you have to, not just because you're afraid of Him, but because you genuinely love Him, because He is worthy of everything you have, then you will have this great peace and nothing can make you stumble. How do you have lasting peace? Love God and love His law. Secondly, seek God's wisdom. James chapter 3 verse 17 says, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure," and then it says, "peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." The next verse says, "Peacemakers who sow peace reap a harvest of righteousness." When you become this kind of person who seeks God's wisdom, will become a peacemaker who sow peace and will reap a harvest of peace. How do you have lasting peace? Love God's law, love God and His law, seek God's kingdom, and finally, remain in Jesus the vine. Jesus said, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you bear fruit, much fruit, and fruit will remain." Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says, "That fruit is the Spirit of God." And in that fruit, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and there it is, peace. The more we remain in the vine, the more we prioritize Jesus, the more we understand that He is, after all, the Prince of Peace, and the more we become like the Christians who redeemed everything around them, knowing that the ultimate gift is the gift of Jesus, which is lasting peace. If not, peace in our own hearts. And the only way you're going to have world peace is if every human being was reached with the gospel and understood this peace from within. So what is peace? Well, peace, to begin with, is the Bible's word shalom, or completeness or wholeness. What is peace? Wholeness means being multifaceted, not just one area, not just the spiritual, not just the mental, not just the physical, not just the financial, but all of that, because that is all that God wants you to have. And that is only possible through a person, and that person is Jesus. Where can you find peace? Peace comes from within. The more you have that on the inside of you, because Jesus Himself said, the kingdom of God is not from without, but from within. Secondly, prayer, peace comes through prayer. The more you know how to pray and the more you order your life in Jesus, the more you can find peace. How do you have lasting peace? Love God and His law. Secondly, seek God's wisdom, remain in Jesus the vine, and you will have the lasting fruit of the Spirit. Let me just close this with a word of proclamation and prayer over you. Jesus, thank you for this Christmas Eve. We declare shalom on every facet of the people in your kingdom and all of those who are watching you today. Father, I pray, Jesus, I pray that the peace that comes from within, the peace that comes from prayer, the peace that comes from an ordered life, the peace that comes from loving your law and seeking your wisdom will cause us to remain in the vine and naturally produce the spiritual fruit of peace. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.